this course appear in Anguttara Nikaya, Dasaka Nipata, Yamaka Vagga. It's called Tanha Sutta, craving. And it's actually the bhava, that is the craving to become, rather than the craving. Monks, the extreme points of craving to become is not apparent. So that one may say, craving to become was not before, it has since come to thee. And this statement, monk, is made. Nevertheless, this thing is apparent. Craving to become is conditioned by this or that. So Buddha is saying that we can't actually find the first point, that this one was not before, but it is now. But it is, there is a condition. So the condition can be known. So bhava is that there are two parts, that is this being as action, that's called kamma bhava, or being as reappearance, uppatti bhava. So the characteristics of this bhava is the developing the renewal of existence. So whatever existence that we are going to be born, whether the human being, animal realm, the pain of departed or the divine realm, wherever it is, that so there is this characteristic of appearance is determined by this bhava. So that is, if someone actually practicing for to become a cow, then he will be born as a cow. So that's that we are shaping our destiny in this way. So this I declare, monks, craving to become has its nutriment. It has not without nutriment. And what is the nutriment of craving to become? Ignorance should be the reply. So, from the ignorance, that is, in Pali it is called avijja. Avijja is not knowing the Four Noble Truth. And ignorance has the characteristic of confusing the truth. So, it confuses the truth. For example, those perversions, vipallasa, is actually the most close to this avidya, is the 14. So we have seen, if we have seen something, edible food or something, and then we get this perversion that it is fair. Also it is not fair. It is sort of, one would actually see, if you think what would happen to the food that I eat afterwards, so you would actually not say that food is sort of fair. Sort of thing is a foul nature in that food. So similarly, having seen something, we pursue that one as you know, the pleasure. Rather, it is actually leading to the displeasure. So ignorance hide these things, this characteristic true nature. Ignorance is actually hiding. And similarly, things that are not self, we regard them as mind. This is mine. This body is mine. This you know, this home, this whatever thing I have is mine, and the, my properties, you know, these the houses and elephants, cows, cars, all those things, they are mine. So we actually regard them as mine, although they are not mine. And similarly, we have this perversion that this impermanent thing, we take this as permanent. And we tolerate. Sometimes we actually see they are as impermanent. Sometimes we see them as suffering, but we tolerate that suffering. So that is the view. So in the perversion, there are three things: that there is this the perception that it is not suffering, and we have the thought that it is not suffering, and there is this view that it is not suffering. So there are three wrong things that we have about a certain thing, the pleasurable things.
It is there, but we don't think like that.
What do you mean?
I mean, if there is something that is suffering, but we don't think it is not suffering. It is suffering, we don't think it is suffering. Or no, we don't think it is not suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And but we accept it as it is. Isn't,
yes,
it,
that is
like
the
that?
View. So I said there are three things.
Yeah.
First, you have the perception.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that this perception that this is beautiful. Although it is ugly, we have the perception that is beautiful. Likewise, we have this perception that it is not suffering. One can have the perception that it is not suffering. Let's say you are saying that I am not actually thinking that way, but I have the thought about it as it is suffering or something. The bigger one is actually the view that I tolerate that it is not suffering.
Yeah, that's right.
So
yeah.
That is the biggest one. You see, that one is actually the stream enter sort of would remove that. You know, the self-view sort of thing, the stream enterer is actually remove that one. He doesn't have the view, but he can have the perceptions about these suffering things are not suffering. So the view is sort of grown up. It is actually, we are actually tolerating, we let it be there, and there are so many words describing this one, I can't remember exactly. So we let it be there. We sort of know it is suffering. We do have a little bit of understanding sometimes. Sometimes it's okay, let it be. So we accept the suffering. Having accept the suffering, we have these views.
That's it. Are you talking this about meditation?
In the meditation time, you are doing the wise attention. Yoniso manasikaro, wise attention. Therefore, you don't get that wrong one. Meditation time you are getting the good one. Although you have done the meditation, in the day-to-day life when you are not mindful, you get the perversion the other way around. That it is this, it is suffering, but when you are thinking it's not suffering.
So it's the craving which is suffering.
Like well, craving leads to that condition. It is lengthy. Remember that last time also we discussed that from this thing, and we go through the 10 steps and sort of thing, and then it has grown up to the ignorance level, and you are now going in the fourth path, now having accepted all those bad things. So the craving was at the beginning, and it has now grown up to a big level. So
you see some things we eat and you don't get it, and you have no problem at all. You understand that it is suffering and you don't want it anymore. And imagine you have something just available for you. So is it still like, do we have to, like, you know, with that understanding, perhaps we eat it, but we know that we do not have craving there, but...
Just for the maintenance of the body, you mean?
Perhaps not that, but because you have tasted it, then you know that it is something sweet and you have it. So, because it is not taken by force, but it is available for you, so you have it. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay to eat and eat, you know, have that one. But that craving, whatever the craving you are actually holding, it is leading to this power, existence. That's the problem.
So if I want something sweet, that will lead to suffering in
later on.
For sure.
That's right. Buddha said that do not seek delight in the eye. If you seek delight in the eye, then you seek delight in suffering. Whatever thing we seek delight, it actually exists within us. And it leads to this existence, craving to become. And it is there with us. Imagine at the time of death, you have some sort of a craving. You know, I like these people, or I like this food, or I like something. So because of that craving, you are bound. Your mind is not liberated. Then I want to have such a form, a human form, an animal form or something. So depending on the merits and the skill state that you have developed, we go through that. Path. So Buddha said, give up all those things, not at once, gradually. Develop the mind first, attain the stream enter and all those states, and then one can actually work towards the removal of this craving. First, you are not that strong. That's why Buddha is saying that you need to develop the mind first. So, but don't fight with your craving. If you try to fight with your craving very, very bad, then you can see sometimes it is bounced back and it becomes more troublesome. What Buddha's technique is to, rather than using that, Well, you develop your mind, you go into the jhana state, the first jhana concentration, which is rapturous. So since that you know that there is a better thing than this food or whatever thing it is, I am happy to give up the craving for this one for the sake of that. That meditation, the rapture. Rapture is so pleasurable. If once you got it, you know how it is. And then that can be used to give up all those things, right? And you are not worried that I don't have this pleasure. I used to have this pleasure. I was so much craving for that one. That is nothing because I know something better. So the Buddha is sending us in a directions, 8 directions actually. So when you go in these directions, then you are so strong, you can actually give up all the other things. The liberation, the mind when it is liberated at the time of the meditation, for example, if you know that liberation, how pleasurable, how good it is, then you can use that one like a weapon. You see, whenever you have some sort of craving, you can see that there is liberation, which is more pleasurable, more, you know, better, the spiritual than this thing. So, I have got something, you know, even a small child. If you want to take a small child out of something, you know, you need to give a better toy than the simple one he's using. Much more happy. So happy. So he's actually happy to give up. Likewise, if you know the other ones, then you can.
So what happened at the end is when there is something, is the example is the food, and you can still have that, but not having a craving for that.
Just eat and then, as soon as eating that you're saying, I have the craving, so I'm eating this one. So just see what is the satisfaction over here. You can see it is only from here to here. That's all. After that, you know nothing about it. So you can say very little satisfaction on these things. And we are not actually thinking about it. That's the biggest thing, the satisfaction. Buddha asks us to observe the satisfaction, as satisfaction. So the ignorance is the cause for this craving to become.
So you can give it to somebody, right?
So, food? So,
like if you can develop that, like giving things up, like, you know, giving, offering. So then you sort of getting away from things.
Yeah, you can use that one as well, And actually the biggest one is the giving up the craving. You know, give the craving, give up the craving. So that is the biggest thing.
So it's the craving for existence. So I like the feeling of having a hand, so that will pull me back to having a hand in the long future.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
I like to look at things and that will pull me back to having an eye.
That's what we need to think is that this particular thing that I hold is actually creating suffering for me. Because to have the hand, you have to have a human form, let's say. Having a human form, I have to earn money, I have to feed, you know, I have to put my body to sleep, turn this way, turn that way. It can't even stay in a particular position for a long time, can it? So, and we are affected by cold, heat, mosquitoes, gadflies, all those problems. So, just what is this hand, you know, the feeling about the hand? So, that's what it is.
So what need is actually because you have to understand the Dhamma and then to meditate and read and all these things to become. To get that level.
Otherwise,
it's not possible.
Possible unless you have seen that there is a better world, better things, you know, that sort of things. It is not possible. And ignorance, I declare, monks, has this nutriment. It has not without nutriment. And what is the nutriment of ignorance? The 5 hindrances should be the reply. So here the 5 hindrances are the sensual desire. The first one is the sensual desire, that there are these 5 strands of sense pleasures, that there are objects that we would like to see from the eye, and the sounds we like to hear, and the smell, and then this taste, the tangible objects that touches our body. So regarding those 5, we think. We have the craving and we think about that particular thing. It's not that form is not the problem. For example, a beautiful person, For Buddha, there is no craving or whatsoever thing on that particular person or any food or anything, because he is liberated. So the other beings who has not actually got rid of that thing has got this craving because he is not thinking about these features of that person or features of that food, you know, the color, the taste and all those things. That thinking and pondering, therefore there is this the sensuous desire that come to arise. So that's the one hindrance. And the next one is this ill will or the anger. So that is, there is something that I like and now it is actually replaced with something I do not like. So for example, I have someone I like to see and that person is gone, and then there's that, in that place there is someone I do not like. So since I like the previous person or something, now I actually compare, I prefer that. So I cling to that one and reject this one. So there is this anger. And it keeps coming as well. And we had the long discussion last week about this anger, how it is actually generated to the second part. And so that's the second hindrance. And third one is the sloth and torpor. That is this sickness of the mind and the sickness of the mental state. And so that if I eat quite a lot, my tummy is full and sometimes I feel sleepy. And if there's no light, you know, the dark, staying at dark, darkness, then we have this sort of the sleepiness sort of thing coming up. And so that's another hindrance. And the fourth one is the restlessness and worry. And worry, when we have this restlessness, is something like a balloon put on the floor and it shakes. So it's going from one to another, just a shaking. And the worry is that remorse over the evil that we have done, or the remorse over the good things, wholesome things that we could not do, like a person who has gone to do examination, and I couldn't do that mathematics, that particular problem, then I'm actually worried, oh, I could have done it, I couldn't do it, sort of thing. And it keeps coming for him all the time. So, one, this is actually more prominent if you have done bad things like the killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, that sort of thing, then they are more prominent. Oh, I shouldn't have done that, I have done that, this is coming back. So, restlessness and worry. And then the fifth one is the doubt. The doubt about the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the order of the monks. Oh, whether this is right, this is wrong. So, when we have these five hindrances, it is actually covering the whole mind. It won't let you come up out of this thing. And this we call pancha nivarana. And then five hindrances are actually is the cause for the ignorance. And they are also are four things. What are these four things? Taints, that's asava, craving, babs, that is salla in Pali, and clinging, upadana. All those four are also this five. This five is also this four. They are equivalent in that sense. So then Buddha said that I declare, monks, that the five hindrances have their nutriment, are not without nutriment. And what is the nutriment of the five hindrances? The three wrong ways of practice should be the reply.
What are they?
The three wrong ways of the practice. That is Trivida Duscharita. That is that things that we do from the body. That is we killing, stealing, sexual misconduct. That is done from the body. And the next one is this the from verbal, we have these four things done from the from speech. That is lying, harsh speech, frivolous talks, and slander. So those are the four bad things. And then the from the mind, we do this thing that having seen something, that we say, let this be mine. So we have this you know, having seen a Benz car or something, one would say, oh, let this be mine, in that sense. And having seen someone, one would say, let this guy be dead. So that is this anger part. The other one is the wrong view. So having the wrong view about these things. So those are the three things. And later on you can see that how we avoid these things when you go into the good part of this discussion. And Buddha said they too have their nutriment. Non-restraint of the sense faculties should be the reply. So if you are not restraining from our sense faculties, and that is eye, ear, nose, tongue and the body, you can see that because of that one we get the lust and the hate. If you are actually having seen something that agreeable form, then it leads to the thinking about it leads to the lust, the salla. And having seen something that I do not like to see, then I lead to the ill will, anger. So you can see that non-restraint of the faculty, eye, ear, nose, tongue and the body, straight away lead to these things. So when it goes to the level of the salla, that is this the barb of lust, then it is uncontrollable, and then he would be happy to take the weapon, that I want this thing that this person is not allowing me to have. So we go and shoot others, I want this country, so therefore I go and bombing and all those things, and things happen in that way. And then again with the anger, kill, all those are happening. So that the restraint of the faculty is very important. And
but there is from mind, isn't it? The mind is...
Yeah, first you have the eye and this form, so the eye consciousness arises, and then the meeting of the three is contact. With the contact, now you actually pursue the your way, how I have trained my mind to deal with that object. So your mind part is now coming and playing that one. First the eye was innocent, but not controlling it, it's actually happening. So that unless there was a contact, I'm not getting angry if I do not see or hear, sort of thing. Yeah. Now, Buddha said that too, they too have their nutriment. The lack of mindfulness and self-composure should be the reply. So, over here, asati sampajana is the Pali word. Now you can actually see lack of mindfulness and self-composure lead to the non-restraint of sense faculties. From the non-restraint of the sense faculties, we have the three wrong ways of practice. And then that leads to the five hindrances. And that leads to the ignorance. And the ignorance leads to this craving to become. So this lack of mindfulness and composure, and Buddha explained this one in one of the discourses. Connected discourses of the Buddha, and Buddha actually said this one to Sikh monks, monks who were Sikh. And over here, Buddha said, Bhikkhu should await his time mindful and clear comprehending. So the mindfulness and self-composure is actually clear comprehending, the word you used in this this book. And this is our instruction to you. And how bhikkhu is a bhikkhu mindful? Here bhikkhu, a bhikkhu dwells contemplating the body in the body, ardent, clearly comprehending, mindful, having put away covetousness and displeasure in regard to the world. He dwells contemplating feeling in feeling, mind in mind, phenomena in phenomena, ardent, clearly comprehending, mindful. So he is actually with effort, he think about the body as the body. That is, this body is made of these 32 parts of the body, hair, nails, teeth, skin, flesh, blood, that all those parts in the body. And he knows about the dead bodies, that how the having seen a dead body, he actually know that my body is of the same nature. And he knows the arising phenomena, that how this body come to arise. That is, by my seed delighting this form, welcoming it, remain whole into it. So the delighting form arises. And with the delighting form as a condition, there is this craving, clinging existence, that is bhava. Existence as condition, there is this birth. So that's how we were born. And then the passing away phenomena, one does not seek delight in form, does not welcome it, does not remain whole into it. So that the cessation of that delight is the cessation of the craving. And with the cessation of craving, the cessation of clinging, with the cessation of clinging and cessation of existence, with the cessation of birth. So there is no birth. So he knows that this is form. Such is form, such is the arising phenomena, such is passing away phenomena. Similarly, he knows about this, such is feeling, such is the arising phenomena, such is passing away phenomena. So he is actually mindful about that. And so that is the mindfulness part. And how we could, as a bhikkhu, exercise clear comprehension. That is this the self-composure. Here, bhikkhu is one who acts with clear comprehension when going forward and returning, when looking ahead and looking aside, when drawing in and extending the limbs, when wearing his robes and carrying his outer robe, when eating, drinking, chewing his food, tasting, when defecating and urinating and walking, standing, sitting, falling asleep, walking up, speaking, keeping silent. It is in such a way that we could exercise clear comprehension. So that is, whatever thing we do, we are mindful and we have the clear comprehension that I am doing such and such a thing. So you can see that how powerful is that mind if you are really doing it that way. All the actions you know. So Buddha, for example, no feeling arises in him without knowing. He knows every feeling that arises. So if we actually, you know, develop our mind, like that one, you can see that if I am mindful, then I know that the danger of this one, how it is arising, how it is passing away. If I know that one, wouldn't I restrain my faculties? Because I know what I am going to see now is a trouble. I don't want to grab it. If I haven't seen a beautiful thing, I don't want to grab it. Having seen someone I don't like to see, I know that if I go through this path, then it's a trouble. So he knows that it is just the material thing I see. And this is how the arising phenomena, this is the passing away phenomena. So
we are doing some of this now.
We are doing some of this, that's right.
Satsangyan is more powerful than mindfulness, isn't it? It has two components.
Mindfulness
plus the living in the present moment.
Yes, yes, aware of the all those things. Yeah.
I thought the most that is really. I was thinking that mindfulness is the way to.
Well, you can see in the second one, because of the mindfulness, you are actually aware of your clear comprehension. Unless you are mindful, you do not actually get the other part. Yeah, that I am walking.
You cannot be mindful without you being in the present moment.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what, because what you do is, if I take this now, so if I am mindful, I am doing it at the moment, so I am mindful that I know that I am taking it.
No, yeah. Mindfulness is quite different to that particular one. Mindful has that five part, including arising phenomena, passing away phenomena, and the other three is the...
You are talking about satisfaction.
Satisfaction and,
No. That is little bit different. Satisfaction, danger also can be included in that sense at the end.
Yeah, mindfulness.
Yeah, you can. You can include that one as well.
Yeah.
But what she's trying to describe is that if I'm taking a piece of paper, but then I know about my volitional formation, it is actually this minute part of the mindfulness goes through, you know, those four paths that we go through.
Yeah,
so that this is the sequence of actions, sequence of mindful actions lead to taking up the paper. That's what Sumitra is trying to say. Yeah. So,
that bhavana that we do, like meditation, we do walking, thinking about how we walk, like, is that
I wouldn't do the meditation that way. That it is actually lifting up my leg and putting. There is no such meditation described by Buddha.
Like, isn't it sort of having mindful about what you're doing, just practicing it?
No, well, first of all, what you are describing is wrong meditation. It's never Buddha described such a meditation. It is just a sort of corrupted path. It is that while walking, you can actually think about the arising phenomena, passing away phenomena, all those things. That sort of meditation. But if you think that I am lifting up my leg and turning down and touching the thing and going, that sort of thing.
Isn't it similar to the breathing meditation, like in a way, because it's
breathing meditations also that you are actually talking about the breathing meditation, you are aware of the, when you are taking short breath, you are aware you are taking short breath.
Yeah.
When you are putting out a short breath, you are aware you are putting out a short breath. It is not that it's touching the nostrils, counting, you know, that sort of thing. They are not the Buddha's meditation. They are added later, additions. Yeah. So, and now Buddha said that this lack of mindfulness and self-composure to also have a nutriment. That is lack of thorough work of the mind. That is ayoniso manasikara. That means that we are not thinking about this, the form, feeling and all those things. We are not thinking about they are actually impermanent. We are not observing them, the impermanent phenomena. We are not thinking this as these are suffering and these are not self. You know, we are not thinking that way. If you are not thinking in that characteristics, then that is called ayoniso manasikara. That's the lack of thorough work of the mind. So you can see the wise attention. This is unwise attention in a way. The wise attention is actually thinking about this is impermanent, subject to suffering, and that one. It is a bit lengthy. There is the Sila Sutta that we discussed before. That one has to be applied here. It's a detail. So regarding whatever thing it is that we are supposed to think that it is impermanent, subject to suffering, not self. In short, in lengthy way, we can say it's like a dart and quite a lot of things, not self and emptiness, all those things. So not having that one. So you see that whenever we don't have a yoniso manasikara or wise attention, what do we have? Whenever we do not have wise attention, what do we have? We have unwise attention. That's what we have all the time. Unless we actually set up our mind to have the wise attention, whenever we see something, we go into the unwise attention. Because we have been practicing that one for billions and billions of years. Infinitely we have been practicing. Buddha comes to this world very rarely. You know, there are eons where there is no Buddhas at all. And certain eons we get a couple of Buddhas. Now this fortunate eon we had five. So it is that very rare occurrence. So all the other time we have practiced our mind to have the wrong way. Having seen something, we said, we are grabbing it out. Let this be mine. This is mine. Having seen someone I don't like to see, I said, let this guy be dead. You know, that's how we have practiced. So having those bad practices, and what we have trained very well to the other way around, to have the unwise attention. So, and then Buddha said, what is the nutriment of that? That means that unwise attention. Lack of faith should be the reply. So this faith should not be understood as a blind faith that, you know, that there is this someone that I just believe him. sort of thing. Buddha does not ask you to believe just because that Buddha said that because it is coming from your ancestors, oh, you have heard it. Just because that one, you don't actually, Kalama Sutta, Buddha said that, don't believe it. You think about it. And having analyzed, then you actually see that it is the truth. So when you actually analyze, let's say there Buddha said that this is suffering, then you actually see that, yes, by this way I can see it is actually suffering. When you see suffering and then you actually agree with the Buddha, well, who said this one? No, Buddha said that one. You see that I see this same Dhamma and the Buddha has said it before.
So you get the confidence.
Confidence, that's right. You get the confidence at that it is true. So eventually when you actually see that, you get the final confidence about the Buddha, when you actually see that the not self nature, anatta, when you say that these things are not mine, and that is your becoming stream enter, you know that we have normally have a view that I am here, I got a body, matter, I have feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness. When these five exist, someone actually thinking, well, there is this I, the person, I am here. And so when you break that identity view, then have you done that one, have you attained, have you penetrated to that level, then having seen that one, you say, yes, this is what Buddha said. So you get the real big confidence about the Buddha, the very strong one. So it is lack of faith is the one that is leading to the thorough work of the mind. And Buddha said that this one also has got a nutriment, and it is not listening to the true Dhamma. Not hearing the true Dhamma is the case that we actually have this all these problems. If we actually heard this true Dhamma, I mean, you can see the true Dhamma is very rare. Very, very rare. You know, in it is this only 2,500 years that Buddha's this thing with us, right? And how many of us are actually even thinking about it, going towards it, and not listening to the true Dhamma is the main thing. And then Buddha said, this one also got a nutriment, not following after the very man, that asapursa. That is, we are actually not following the Buddha. We are following many, you know, that many, we have teachers, we have many other religions and all those things. Although Buddhists are actually not following the other religions. And not following the after the very man is the reply. It is not only the Buddha, that it is the Dhamma and the Sangha, the order. So,
what does it say, the very man? Do you think it's a
It is the, I think the I don't know, they translate. I have seen the many translations are like that one. Asa Purusa, Sevana, this is that one would be actually following, you know, the, like a wrong person. If you follow a wrong person, then you lead to this particular problem. If you follow the correct person, then you are not leading to this one. You are going the other way around. So, who's the correct person? Correct person is the Buddha. And his teachings, Dhamma. And the Aryans, Arahants. All the others got, although once returners, stream enterers, the never returners, they got a little bit of, you know, dirt in them. Only Arahants and above, the Buddhas, Paccheka Buddhas, and Arahants are the very man. So, because of this one, so now Buddha said, thus once the act of not following after the very man, when complete, not listening to true Dhamma. Not listening to true Dhamma, when complete, lack of faith. lack of faith completes lack of thorough work of the mind. Lack of thorough work of mind, when complete, completes lack of mindfulness and self-composure, and that non-restraint of the sense faculties, and that the three ways of wrong practice, and that five hindrances, when complete, complete ignorance. Such is the nutriment of this ignorance, and such is its fulfillment. Just as when a monk on a mountain the rain falls in heavy drops, that water flowing onwards according to the slope fills up the mountain clefts, rips and gullies, and they, when filled up, the little pools, and the little pools in turn fill up the big pools, and they fill up the small rivers, they fill the large rivers, and the large rivers in turn fill up the sea, the mighty ocean. Thus is the nutriment of the mighty ocean, and thus is the full moon. In the same way, monk, not following after the very man, when complete, completes the whole things up to the ignorant and this the craving. So you can see that we have been following wrong people for a long, long time. So many people, and this man is telling me lies and all those things. We follow that on the other person and the other person. So Buddha is saying that this just keep on accumulating. You know, the little pawns, big pawns, and becoming, and then all gathered up to this level. And now Buddha is actually going the other way around. Buddha said, now released by knowledge, monk, I declare, has its nutriment. It is not without nutriment. And what is the nutriment of release by knowledge? The seven limbs of wisdom. The release by knowledge is that when you actually meditate about this impermanent nature, the suffering nature and the not-self nature. And so the wisdom that develops. So you get the first in a stream mental state, and then once return and then never return, and you become an arahant, you know, in he understand that all these things are suffering. And then he understand the cause of suffering. Cause of suffering is the craving. And he understands the cessation of suffering. That with the cessation of craving comes the cessation of suffering. He understand that one. He understand the path leading to the cessation of suffering. That is the Eightfold Path. So that the knowledge. So no, before the knowledge, that there is actually the liberation. That particular one Buddha has not mentioned, but there is another, the link between the next factor Buddha is actually describing, that seven beams of wisdom and the knowledge. There is liberation. Liberation of the mind. And so what are these seven limbs of wisdom? The old seven factors of enlightenment, that is this mindfulness, and then the investigation of the truth, effort, and then the rapture. So when you put, you first investigate this Dhamma, you know that it is actually mindful, you are investigating whether this thing is suffering or not, this is impermanent or not. When keep on investigating, and then you put effort to do this one. You get up in the morning, do the meditation, you know, all those things. And so that person who is mindful and put effort and investigation with the wisdom, then the rapture arises because his hindrances get suppressed. So then he actually have the rapture. When there is rapture, you do rapture flows through the whole body, and you are so happy. And it's the Dhamma law that the rapturous man's mind become tranquil. So he get the tranquility, the tranquility of mind and the tranquility of mental states. And when the mind is tranquilized and you have the rapture, then that it become pleasurable. So into the pleasure state. And if you are indifferent to the pleasure that has arisen, then you get the equanimity state. So that equanimity state lead to the liberation, and from the liberation you get the knowledge to how to destruct this the cravings. So seven factors of the enlightenment is the reply. And Buddha said, these seven limbs of wisdom or seven factors of enlightenment, I declare, have their nutriment. The four arising of mindfulness should be the reply. So the four arising of the mindfulness is that mindfulness regarding the body. It's a satipatthana meditation completely. Mindfulness as regards body. So he knows about the form, he knows the arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena. He knows about the feeling, he knows arising phenomena, passing away phenomena. He knows about the thoughts and he knows arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena. And he knows about this Dhamma, arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena. This Dhamma. So he's mindful about that. And so it is established in his mind. So that's the four arising of mindfulness. And Buddha said that the four arising of mindfulness has got nutriment as well. That is the three right ways of practice. That is trini sucharitani. That is this, that we refrain from killing, stealing, sexual misconduct. Now the previously that we were talking about the bad ones. Now we refrain from those ones. We refrain from lying, harsh speech, frivolous talks and slander. And we refrain from those three bad ones that, you know, having seen something that we don't regard these things as mine, and having seen someone, we don't say, let this guy be dead sort of thing. And we have the right view. So because of that one, we get the four arising of mindfulness. And then Buddha said that this also has got the nutriment. The nutriment for that one is the controlling of the faculties. Control of the faculties of the senses. So this
controlling.
Indriya samvara. Controlling the faculty is the actually the lead into the three right ways of practice. If you control your faculties, eye, ear, nose, tongue and the body. I mean, why would you wouldn't say this guy be dead if you actually close your eyes, you do not know who actually passed away. Right? So you don't, if you have close your eyes and if you don't see something, you know, something beautiful like you want to see, right, you normally would see, we haven't seen it. This is the problem. You see, we don't actually realize this particular one. The best thing you can do when you are walking, if you know that you are going to get something, you know, bad, if you sense it, you know, just close your eyes. Then you don't see that one. That person or something has gone. No problems. And similarly, you can't sort of close your ear, but if you control your faculties, this one is a very big thing. This one is actually very big thing. You know why? If you actually do not control your faculties, let's say there is someone who is so beautiful, you would like to see. And if you do not control your faculty, so first you get that vipallasa, the perversion that that person is actually ugly in that sense. You know, it's a foul nature. What we have got inside our body, you know, the saliva, urine and all those things. But we perceive these things as somewhere they are really good. So if we get the perversion, so since of the perversion, there is this sensuous desires coming up and playing that part. Because we have practiced before. So now this one actually taking up our mind. And that it actually leads to this body tie of, you know, body tie about this one. And because we are holding to gratification of that thing. And then the barb of lust, going to the blood level. You can't control anymore. And then the mind holding to that object. Whatever the object that passed by. That person, maybe that person, is actually that person has gone. Now you are going over there, holding to that person who just passed away. Didn't give you anything. You didn't get anything. It's just the mind holding to that thing. So it is called vijnana sthiti in Pali. The consciousness is actually, consciousness is steadying on form. And it is actually steadying on feeling, perception, volition, formation. All those things are happening. Just holding to these things. So if you have the control of faculties, none of that would have happened. That holding, if the consciousness is actually holding to anything, you can afraid. That is, you are done with it. That is the biggest thing. After that one, you are actually happy to go to all the troubles, going from one country to another, right? taking weapons, all those things are actually is the key over there. Try to understand. This is very difficult unless you know about those four paths that we described one path is last time. Unless you know that one, your mind is going to hold either to a form or to a feeling or to a perception or to a volitional formation. Somehow it is holding to that one. And you even do not know that I am actually holding. You are going this way, but with that thought, holding. So, what Buddha said is, if the consciousness is holding to something, then the growth of the mind and matter, name and form, and sort of thing, is actually growing. And so all the aggregates of clinging is actually growing with that one. So it's difficult to understand this consciousness is holding to that one. Unless you keep on meditating and you are mindful, then you sort of know. Otherwise, it is keep on holding to that one. And so if you control your eye, you got rid of that one object. Even if you control your ear, you got rid of another object. Another trouble you can see. So, very important that if you actually control this one, then you actually go into the upper mind, it's called the unlimited mind. If you have this one, the next stage is actually the liberation, the unlimited mind from the with the loving kindness, if it is a form. If it is a feeling, you are actually going to the karuna pramana, that is called compassion. And then the third one, it is if it is the perception, that if you understand my mind was actually holding the perception and you actually went to this the enlightenment factor level, then you have mudita pramana, that is the appreciative joy level. And then the next one is the upekkha pramana, equanimity level. So, so controlling of faculty is sort of a key to going to the higher states. And then Buddha said that the nutriment of this is the mindfulness and self-possession, that clear comprehension and mindfulness. And how do we get that one? From the thorough work of the mind, that is wise attention. So if I keep on contemplating that impermanent nature, suffering nature and that one, well then I am out of all the dangers. And how do you do that one? Well, since there is a faith, you can do. Because Buddha said that all these things are troublesome. You meditate, you keep on practicing apply the wise attention. Unless you have the faith about the Buddha, you wouldn't do it. Would we do that if someone actually come and tells us to do it? If I have the faith, you know, then only I do that thing. So, and then Buddha said that nutriment of faith is listening to true Dhamma, the hearing this true Dhamma. Even the Buddha is there. If the Buddha did not teach any Dhamma to us, then we wouldn't have get any faith about the Buddha. So Buddha actually spoke and he said these things. So, and we should listen to the Dhamma. Unless we listen to the Dhamma, we don't get the faith. We do not see this sort of alignment one to another. And what is the nutriment to listen to through Dhamma? Following after the very man. So that is following the Buddha, Dhamma. And when Buddha is not here, Buddha said, make the Dhamma as your teacher. Nobody else. The Dhamma is your teacher. There is this, you know, content inside this, the Buddha's discourses, other things, the teacher. And then Buddha said, thus monks, following after the very man, when complete, listen to true Dhamma. Listen to true Dhamma completes faith. Faith completes thorough work of mind, and that mindfulness and self-possession, that control of sense faculty, that the three right ways of practice, that the four arising of mindfulness, and that the seven limbs of wisdom, while the seven limbs of wisdom when complete released by knowledge. Thus is the nutriment by release by knowledge, and thus its fulfillment. Just as when monk on a mountain and Buddha gave the same example, you know, that the bit by bit, you know, the water becoming a big ocean and sort of thing. And then the mind is actually growing in that level. And with this one, you can see your virtue is growing as well. You know, this you control your faculties. And then there is this sucharita, that is this refrain from killing, stealing, all those things. So virtue is growing. Virtue is the basis for this, for the holding the eightfold path is the virtue. Virtue got to be there. And then apply the wisdom, wise attention to this thing. So keep on developing that one, and you can see it become filled up, and then the release by the knowledge comes. So it's a great discourse.
It's quite similar to Avijja Sutra, isn't it?
It's similar to Avijja Sutra. It is actually the next discourse.
Ah,
right. Avijja Sutta, and the next discourse is Tanha Sutta. Yeah. And the over here is actually the Buddha explained that Bhava Tanha is because of Avijja. Previous discourse actually stopping with this. So these things has to be, you know, sort of heard many times, thought about many times. You know, it's just once doing that one is not enough. Keep on doing, listening to the same thing. And,
is this the way Lord Buddha has said this sutta?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the people wouldn't understand this if they don't know about Dhamma, isn't it? Because this one is just mentioning about
our terms.
The terms, and it doesn't describe. Yeah.
Now it is actually probably the monk. This was actually said in, I think, in the Kuru. You know that the I think that
Kuru.
Those people.
They were intelligent ones. Yes.
Because this Satipatthana, four foundations of mindfulness, was said in that place, and this discourse. So maybe the gathering was so great. They know, they study, they learn, and the monks, you know, who were there. So Buddha is actually aligning these discourses to the people who are actually at that one.
Those are the people that a lot of religious leaders have come to that village and said, this is our the whatever the philosophy or whatever the belief was, and then next one comes and says,
So, yeah, I mean, although we say that this is how Buddha said it, I don't think monks by those time actually have made it short. I believe sort of they said what the Buddha said, and most of the Buddha's discourses, Buddha said that one in sometimes 3 words, 4 words, and you know some discourses are very lengthy, long length sayings, discourses. So if Buddha said it in a very short, 3 or 4 lines sort of thing, then one has to thoroughly examine that one. And that's the Petakopadesa actually says that one. You know, when the Buddha said it this way, one has to keep on thinking. What Buddha said, what he implies. And nowadays you can see even some professors are doing this technique as well. They're actually writing down a couple of lines for you to go and think about that when you start. Because that, since it's only 4 lines, you put much effort to learn the content. And looking at, so you go to the library, look at that book, look at this book and sort of thing. Remember that, you know, they're going to the Venerable Mahakachana and ask, because that Buddha said in only 4 lines, you know, the 4 statements. And, so it is. Because then there is some urgency within them. You know, what is the meaning of this? I want to learn. So thoroughly.
It's also very beautiful.
Very beautiful, yes.
The image.
Yeah.
How does the structure of one thing
when you come in? That's right. Well, how our mind got corrupted and how we can get rid of it. Both are actually explained.
We have to live in the sea of poison, really, don't we? The whole society is
completely
full of lies.
Yes. Having one lie, having heard one lie, well, we would do a quite a lot of damage to us if you follow it. If you straight away know that it's a lie, then it is fine. Then because you reject it, you did not accept it.
We have
tolerated so long, you know, in the past, not knowing the true nature. and we got corrupted quite a lot. We stop for today then.